Peter's almost done. He's ready to wind up. But before he puts his pen down, there are four things he wants to emphasize. It's a dark world and it's a dangerous world for God's people. It is today and it was in Peter's day. And Peter wrote this letter to the churches to remind them of some things they needed to know living in that dark and dangerous world, things that we need to know as well. They loved the Lord and they were sincerely devoted to him. Peter knew that, but he wanted to be sure that they would stay safe, that they wouldn't drift or be led astray, and that they wouldn't give up when the going got tough, as it does. Peter wanted them to be strong, godly Christians. We've been working our way through this letter because we want to be strong, godly men and women too, don't we? And we don't want to fall victim to our dark and dangerous world, do we? Well, Peter has reminded us. He's told us we all have the kind of faith we need to be strong and godly men and women if we'll just use it. And we have everything else we need too, everything that's necessary for a life of godliness. And he's told us to be diligent. He said to work hard and put to use what we've got. He said, take that faith you've got and add to it. Add some energy. Add some knowledge and self-control and perseverance and add godliness and brotherly kindness and love. And he said, if you do that, in this way there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Come the time, you'll sail into heaven with your head held high. He's reminded us too that in the darkness we have a light to guide us, the Bible, the prophetic word to which he said, you will do well to pay attention. And we need its light, he said, because there are all kinds of tricky tricksters out there who will lead you up the garden path. False teachers. Peter has told us how to spot them. They're sensual people, he said, and how to avoid being drawn in by them. And he said, don't worry, have confidence in God. God is looking out for you. But that doesn't mean that you don't have to be careful and diligent. And Peter has reminded us that this old world that gives us so much grief is hanging by a thread. It's under sentence. The heavens and earth are stored up for fire, being kept until the day of judgment and destruction of the ungodly. It might seem long in coming, but it'll happen when God calls time. He's done it before. He can do it again, and he will, but he's being patient because he's giving time for more people to be saved. And finally, Peter has challenged us to think, since all these things are thus to be destroyed, what sort of people ought you to be? Well, that's the message of 2 Peter. Peter's almost done. He's ready to wind up. But before he puts his pen down, there are four things he wants to emphasize. So let's read now 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 14 to 18. Therefore, beloved, since you are waiting for these, be diligent to be found by him without spot or blemish and at peace. And count the patience of our Lord as salvation, just as our beloved brother Paul also wrote to you according to the wisdom given him, as he does in all his letters when he speaks in them of these matters. There are some things in them that are hard to understand, which the ignorant and unstable twist to their own destruction, as they do the other scriptures. You, therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, take care that you are not carried away with the error of lawless people and lose your own stability, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. To him be the glory now and to the day of eternity. Amen. Four things then. And the first thing Peter emphasizes is be diligent. He says, since you're waiting for these things, since you're waiting for, since you're expecting the world to try and pull you down, since you're waiting for, since you're expecting false teachers to come along and try to seduce you, since you're expecting the heavens to pass away with a roar and the heavenly bodies to be burned up and dissolved and the earth and the works that are done in it to be exposed, he says, be diligent. Make every effort. Be diligent. Make every effort, he says, to be found by him when he comes back, to be found by him without spot and blameless, pure and without fault. But you say back to me, but that's not possible. I can't be pure and without fault. No, it's not possible in this life, but it is what Peter says you ought to be striving after if you're expecting the things we've been reminded about in his letter to happen. Now, don't think of this as some sort of legalistic demand. It's not Jesus had better find you living a faultless life when he comes back or you'll be in big trouble. That's not the way of it. We've dealt with that. Don't take it that way. Rather, it's because you're waiting for and expecting these things to happen. There's no other way of life that makes sense. If you appreciate the danger you're in this world, Christian, if you believe that Jesus will come and wind it all up at any time, you will be diligently striving to live a life that's pure and without fault. Do you? Do you appreciate the danger? Do you believe that this world might end at any time? Well then, how much effort are you making to live a pure, holy, godly life? Really? How much does it occupy your thoughts? Has it ever kept you awake? Do you think about it at all? Or are you just, as they say, flying by the seat of your pants, hoping that when Jesus comes back, he'll be reasonably pleased with you? Peter says that's not enough. You've got to be diligent. You've got to work hard at it. You've got to put in effort. So look closely at your life. Think deeply about it. Is there anything in it that might be displeasing to the Lord? And if you find anything, root it out and spare no effort to be done with it. Therefore, beloved, since you're waiting for these, be diligent to be found by him without spot or blemish. Found without spot or blemish and at peace, Peter says. When Jesus comes, he ought to find you at peace. And you need to be diligent about that. You have to be at peace with God, of course. But then if you're saved and you're striving to be spotless and without blame, you will be at peace with God. But you also have to be at peace with one another. And I think that's more the thing that Peter had in mind here. It's the same idea Paul had in mind in Romans 12, verse 18. He said, if it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. As much as it depends on you, live peaceably with all men. It means be diligent, make every effort to avoid unnecessary contention. And when tensions do arise, as they inevitably will in this world, it means being diligent to resolve those tensions quickly. God has told us how to do that, so there's no excuse for not resolving them. And it means that among us there will be a lot of love covering up multitudes of sins. Striving, putting in effort, being diligent to be found at peace. You know, I think we underestimate the importance of getting along with one another. We think, yeah, it's nice if you get along with people, but sometimes it doesn't work out. We're too content to hold on to our wee grudges and to let tensions fester. This is important to God. It's so important to God that Jesus said, "By this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Our witness in the world depends on it. It's how they recognize us. It ought to be how they recognize us. John said, "This is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another." And he said, "Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love." So not only is it the mark that distinguishes us from others in this world, not only is it part of our Christian witness, and our Christian witness depends on it, but the fact that we get along together and love one another is actually the mark of whether we're saved or not. Will Jesus find you at peace when he comes back? Are there relationships that need fixing? The second thing Peter emphasizes is get the good news out there. He says, "Count the patience of our Lord as salvation." And that's him repeating what he has said was the reason for the Lord delaying his return. The longer he delays, the more people will be saved. Now, why does Peter then tell us here to consider it? Well, if you considered it, wouldn't it drive you out with the good news? Wouldn't we be very busy at proclaiming the good news? Yeah, we've talked about this before when we looked at those verses, and this is Peter winding up. He's picking out the most important things from his letter for emphasis. And that's why it's come up here, and this is why we've come back to it, giving it the emphasis that Peter thinks it needs. And you'll remember when we looked at those earlier verses, I said, you might not be a preacher or an evangelist. That might not be your thing. But what is it that you are doing about getting the gospel out there? It's a dark and dangerous world. You're waiting for, you're expecting Jesus to come back at any time. You're longing for it. You're wishing for it. We can't wait to get to heaven. Isn't that right? You know he's only delaying so that more people will be saved. So what contribution are you making to getting the news out there? You're maybe not the evangelist, you're maybe not the preacher. Are you supporting those who are going out in some way? Are you praying? Are you giving? What is it that you're contributing? And how high up on your list of priorities is it? According to what Peter's saying here, I think the answer should be well near the top of my list of priorities. The third thing Peter emphasizes, beware of the dangers. Count the patience of our Lord as salvation, just as our beloved brother Paul also wrote to you according to the wisdom given to him, as he does in all his letters when he speaks in them of these matters. There are some things in them that are hard to understand, which the ignorant and unstable twist to their own destruction, as they do the other scriptures. You therefore, beloved, knowing beforehand, take care that you're not carried away with the error of lawless people and lose your own stability. Why does Peter mention Paul here? Maybe it's to add some extra weight to what he's saying. Apostolic name dropping. Paul agrees with me. I don't think so. We don't know, by the way, what in Paul's writings Peter is referring to. Maybe, and I think more likely, the false teachers that Peter's already told us about have been twisting Paul's teaching to justify their views. I think that's it. And why does Peter say that some things that have been written by Paul are hard to understand? Well, because they are. There are things in Paul's writings that are hard to understand, and false teachers do have a way of taking the difficult bits of the Bible and twisting them for their own ends. They can't get away with it so readily with the easy bits of the Bible, so they take the difficult bits and they twist them and use them to lead people astray. So what Peter's saying is be careful. He's warning us that truths taught in the Bible can be misunderstood and twisted and misrepresented. He's warning us that unstable and untaught people will do that. He's warning us to be careful whose interpretation of the Bible we listen to. Just because someone says this is biblical, it doesn't mean it's right. And the people to watch out for, Peter says, are untaught and unstable people. They're untaught, and the word that Peter uses implies that they're untaught because they're not willing to learn. For some reason, it's their own fault that they're untaught. Maybe they're lazy, or maybe they think they know it all already. Whatever, they're untaught and they're unstable. Their minds are easily changed. One day they believe this, the next day they believe that because some clever, tricky trickster has come along with some new idea. Peter says, "You therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, take care that you are not carried away with the error of lawless people and lose your own stability." Knowing that untaught and unstable people twist the scriptures, beware, he says. Be on your guard. Watch out. Keep your wits about you. And keep yourself stable. Keep yourself in a firm condition of mind. Keep yourself resolute and fixed in your thinking. Be determined to keep on holding firmly to what you have come to believe and known to be true. Don't let yourself be shaken from it. Don't let yourself be led astray. You know, some people's beliefs are always up for being reconsidered. Some people will believe anything that any popular preacher comes along and tells them. Or they'll believe anything they read in a book. Now, Peter's readers were in a stable position. They had the faith they needed if they would use it. They had everything they needed to live a godly life. They had the light of the word. They were in a good position. And so are all of you. You have been well taught. But even so, you've got to be careful not to deviate from what you have been taught and what you know to be true. Just as it was in Peter's day, you must be careful not to deviate. You've got to be determined not to give up your resolved beliefs. Make sure you are convinced in your own mind of what you do hold to. And that takes some kind of work and study, doesn't it? Don't just take the word of the preacher for it. You've got to get your Bible out and you've got to be convinced, yes, this is what God's word teaches. Put in the work, be convinced. And then when you are convinced, be determined that you're not going to be shaken from it. Most people do not set out to adopt wrong beliefs or to give themselves over to sin. What happens is they get carried away. They get swept up and they get carried along by group pressure, by the spirit of the age, by plausible arguments that people put to them, by ideas that they're tempted by that sound appealing. And the reason they're swept up is that they're not thoroughly convinced of what they believe because they haven't put in the work, or because they don't take notice of those lawless, false prophets who are influencing them. Remember we talked about how to spot them? They're sensual people. The fourth thing Peter emphasizes, grow in grace and knowledge. Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. There are echoes there of the second verse in this letter, chapter 1, verse 2, where Peter says, "May grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ." So grace and knowledge are like the brackets that come at either end of the letter. That was the opening bracket, chapter 1, verse 2. This is the closing one, chapter 3, verse 18. The whole letter that comes in between is about grace and the knowledge of Jesus. So what does it mean to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? It means to grow in your experience of the good things that God gives, of His grace, and it means to grow in knowledge. That means growing in your knowledge of the facts about what you believe. Here's that diligent study thing coming up again. You've got to put in some work if you want to grow in knowledge. It also means growing in the kind of knowledge that comes by experience. Walking with Jesus, talking with Jesus, obeying Jesus, growing closer and closer to Jesus in the way that you're living. It means growing in your experience of walking with Jesus, and it also means growing in the kind of knowledge that changes you, being changed by what you know. As you learn more and more facts about what you believe, as you walk with Jesus day by day, what ought to happen, what should be happening, is that you grow to be more and more like him in what you do and say and what you think. That's what it is to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And if you grow strong in that, there's great safety in it. It'll keep you safe from all of those wrong teachings that could lead you astray. It'll keep you safe in this dark and dangerous world. So there you have it. Four things Peter has picked out from his letter to emphasize as he's winding up. Be diligent to be found pure and blameless and to be found at peace. Two, get busy with getting the good news out there. Three, beware of those who twist the scriptures. Make sure that you're solidly grounded in what you believe. And four, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. All glory to him now and always. And that's the purpose of all of this, isn't it? It's the purpose of Peter's letter. That's why you've got to be a strong and godly Christian. That's why you must be sure and stay strong and godly. God's glory depends on you being a strong and godly Christian. You look around you at the church today. What a mess it seems to be in. You look one direction and you see people following crazy teachers, people following unstable leaders, people following untaught people. You see sin, you see division, you see tension, you see fallouts. What a mess it is in, and what a dishonor that is to God. If we want to glorify God, we need to be strong, godly people. Don't let it happen to you. Don't let it happen to this church. Don't let us be drawn in by the darkness and the dangerous people around us in this world for the sake of God's glory. To him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. What it means is, so be it. It's an expression of absolute trust and confidence. To say amen to something is to make it your own. When you say amen to something, you're saying, yes, I believe this. I'm with this. I'm going to do this. This is real. This is strong. This is for me. This is mine. So that's the question I want to finish on. Are you saying amen to everything that you have learned from 2 Peter? Yes, Father, it is a dark world. It is a dangerous world for your people. Peter has reminded us that we're just pilgrims passing through. This is not our home. But Lord, we want to get to heaven safely. We want to be strong and godly men and women. So help us, Lord, to be diligent to do the things we have learned, so that we will become those men and women for your glory. Amen.